kodem achag, sholin v'dorshin v'hilchos achag. So we're up to the Simen Taflamid, which is about Shabbos HaGadol. So Shabbos HaGadol, the Mechaber says, Shabbos Shalifnei HaPesach Chorino, so Shabbos HaGadol, Mipnei HaNeis Shenasebo. That there was a great miracle on that day. You'll recall that when Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron on Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim, said, Be'asor LaChodesh Hazeh, V'yikchu Lahem Ish, Selevei Savo, Selabayis. That on the 10th of the month, which by tradition fell out on Shabbos that year, so they were supposed to take this seh. And this was a miracle in its own right, long before they shechted the seh, because we know that the Egyptians worshipped the seh, amongst the other pagan gods as well. And you remember during the entire process of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so when Moshe was asking Paro that they should go on a little bit of a journey into the wilderness to worship God, so the idea was, Hei nizbachas to avas Mitzrayim leinehem lo yiskalunu, right? That there's just no way that we could offer a sacrifice in front of the Egyptians, and they wouldn't stone us. And what happened here is that obviously in broad daylight, and for 4 days they had to watch it, but it all started, the Tchilas Hanes was on that Shabbos HaGadol, and the Egyptians could do nothing about it. Now the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, you know, from the Medrash, which describes this, and uses a very signal expression, okay, when it comes to Egyptian reaction. V'hayu shinehem keos al sheshochten es Eloheim. They were literally grinding their teeth. That the Jewish people were going to slaughter their gods. And at that point, the tables had turned. There wasn't anything that the Egyptians could say. What does that expression remind you of, right? That this is what they were doing with their teeth, with that exact language. Where does it come up in the Haggadah? Afata by the Rasha, Hakeyes Shinav. So this gave me a whole new insight into the Rasha, right? The Rasha says, Mavo dazos lachem, lachem below lo, that he's poresh atzmo minatzibor, and afata hakeya shinav. But what's really interesting is maybe we can look at it a little bit differently. It wasn't just that he was sort of, the Rasha is withdrawing himself from the Jewish side of the story, but this might suggest that the Egyptians themselves are described here as v'hayu shineyem keos, that they were grinding their teeth. Maybe part of this subtle suggestion is using the very same language, is that he's identifying not with the Jews, but also not neutrally, but the Russia is identifying with the Egyptians. And it actually makes a lot of sense in context, because in the context of the Pasuk, Maha Avudah Hazos Lachem, it's actually not a question about Pesach in general, but what's it a question about? The Karban Pesach. In other words, how could you offer this Karban Pesach, which is in the Medrash exactly the question that the Egyptians themselves were asking? This would be a fascinating thing. You know, these two different formulations in the Midrashim were connected, and basically the Rasha is sort of like assuming the posture of the Egyptians, and not just a neutral perspective, having withdrawn from the Kehillah. So maybe that's something for you guys to discuss over the course of the Seder. Now the Ramah notes a minhag here, in which the Vilna Gaon objected to. I'll explain why in a second. I'm interested by a show of hands, how many people have this minhag. V'aminhag lomar b'mincha, by mincha, the afternoon, when you're not at the Shabbos HaGadol Dresha, Ha'agada mitchilas avadim hayinu, ad l'chaper al kol avanoseinu, and then the Ramah adds in, uposkin lomar barchinavshi. We don't say barchinavshi, we basically say from Shabbos precious all the way until Pesach. So you have the minhag to say the Haggada ad l'chaper al kol avanoseinu. So the Ramah says it, so it's the standard minhag, presumably, of Ashkenazic Jewry. So why would the Vilna Gaon be against this? So you recall from the Haggadah itself, the Pasuk is quoted, V'gad to levincha bayom ahule mor, right? And that's a response. That's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the question is, you know, Yachol Me'rosh Chodesh, if Moshe and Aaron got the message beginning on Aleph Nisan, so maybe that's when we should start Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we say, no, bayom ahule mor. So then bayom ahu, we say, Yachol Mibod Yom, no, Ba'avur Zeh, B'shah, Sheyesh, Matzah, Umaror, Munachim Lefanecha, that you can only really start Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, unless it's very exigent circumstances, after Tzeis HaKochavim, okay? B'sha sheyesh matzah umara munachim lefanecha, because matzah is connected to the Karban Pesach, and about the Karban Pesach, the Pasuk says, ve'achlu es habasar balayla hazeh, it has to be after Tzeis HaKochavim. So the Vilna Gaon comes along and says, wait a second! I thought we covered this territory in the Mechilta, right? Yachol me Rosh Chodesh, we're not allowed to do this on Rosh Chodesh. So obviously, the Ramah knew that as well. So if you wanted to be Miyashiv the Ramah, presumably what you would say is, yeah, of course you can fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim if it's not Leil Tesvav. But it's actually very good to review beforehand the Haggadah, and that would be the minhag as part of our preparation for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to review the Haggadah. Not that one thinks that one is being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So a little bit of a Tzarech Iyun. We have to understand what the Vilna Gaon's objection was. As long as a person realized that he wasn't fulfilling the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, why exactly would the Vilna Gaon have been so concerned about this Minhag? At least something to consider in terms of going forward. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha, Maritz Kodesh Baruch, Zakos Yisrael, Lefika Achirim Lam Tar Mitzvah, Shanamar Adonai Chavetz Aman Tzidko, Yagdil Terav Yadir, Kaddish Terabanan.